Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. As usual, let me start with a question. Would you agree with me if I said the Lord Jesus Christ wants your heart to be set on fire? Because when your heart is set on fire, you will follow Him with passion and zeal. When your heart is set on fire, you will love the Holy Scripture. When you're set on fire, you'll be engaged in doing the mission of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that saying? Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Creator God, the Redeemer God, the Sustainer God, He desires what? He wants your heart, my heart, to be set on fire. Amen. Let me take you to Luke chapter 24. We've been at this sermon series for the last some weeks now called Meals with Jesus. And today, we're going to find out what happened as Jesus broke the bread with Cleopas, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and another disciple who remains unnamed. Two disciples having a meal with Jesus, and something supernatural happens. Are you ready? Hear the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 24. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were, let's read verse 16 together, underlined, but they were kept from recognizing Him. Friends, that same day, it's the resurrection Easter Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. The women went to the tomb. They found the tomb to be empty. They came back and told the disciples, the 11 disciples. Peter and John ran to the tomb and they saw the tomb empty. On the same day, that day, these two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, they were walking from Jerusalem to their hometown Emmaus, 7 miles away. It took all day for them to walk back to Emmaus. Jesus comes along and joins them on their walk. Let's find out what happens. Verse 17, He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" They were surprised that this stranger, Jesus, whom they did not recognize, they were kept from recognizing Him, that He didn't know what happened. So here's Jesus' response. Are you ready? This is so, so interesting. Verse 19. "What things?" He asked. "I don't know. What happened? What are you talking about? I have no idea." Very strange response from Jesus, don't you think? Let's continue. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find His body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, let's read the underlined sentence. Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. Open our hearts that we may conceive Jesus to your glory. Lord, I pray this prayer every time. And may it be so, Lord. May it be done as you will it, as we desire it. In the name of Christ, amen. Friends, this text is riddled with all kinds of interesting facts, actual account. And at the same time, this text begs you and me to question, ask lots of questions, right? Listen, your maturity in the scripture is not measured by the answers you give, but by the questions you raise. One more time. Your disciple maturity is not measured by the answers you give, but by the questions you ask into the Bible. So here is my question. Why does Jesus, as if he doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem, he says, "What thing? I don't know what happened. What are you talking about? What are you discussing?" He acts as if he doesn't know, right? Furthermore, when they arrived in Emmaus after walking all day long, Jesus pretends he acts as if he's going farther, when in fact, he wants to stay with the disciples. Why? Why? Why are those things happening? Why is Jesus pretending? Why is he playing? Why is he acting? Let me ask it this way. What does it seem? Why does it seem like Jesus is playing hide and seek? That's what it feels like, doesn't it? Why does he play hide and seek? When our children, Johanna and Joshua, when they're young, they're now 26, 23. But when they're about 5 years old, I would often ask, "Hey, what do you want to play? Daddy, Daddy, can we play hide and seek?" "Okay, so I'll go and I'll give you, I think it was a minute. Count to 60 and then you come and find me. Okay?" So I go and I hide myself. And I hide myself in such a place that they couldn't find me. So 60 seconds up, they went looking for me and they looked everywhere. The garage, the closet, under the bed, behind the curtain. They looked for me everywhere, but they couldn't find me. So after some time, guess what I did? I would cough. And then they come and say, "Daddy, we found you! We found you!" Here's a really good quote. And I don't remember where I read it or who said it, but it goes something like this. Ready? God is like a parent playing hide and seek and coughs as to give away his whereabouts. Yes. God has to cough so that you may find him. Because if we can't find God on our own, he must reveal himself. Jesus must reveal himself. Here's another question. As we read together, there are so many sentences, so many descriptions which involve passive voice. Okay, here's a simple grammar lesson. What's a passive voice? The active voice is something like this. I kissed my wife, Une. The subject is doing the action. That's active voice. Make sense, right? Victor kissed Une. The passive voice is something like this. Une was kissed by Victor. The subject is receiving the action. The action of the verb is being done by somebody else, in this case, Victor, and Une is she is the recipient of the action of the verb. So here's Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing the account of this event. And then he uses passive voice. For example, verse 16, they were kept from recognizing him. It said that they didn't recognize him. It was kept. They received the action, the verb of Jesus' identity being hidden. Second example, in verse 31, when Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were open. Passive voice. It's not they opened their eyes and recognized Jesus. Their eyes were open. The action of the verb is being done by Jesus Christ himself. And one more, verse 32. The disciples asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus opened the scriptures and broke the bread? Okay, now, we don't see this in the NIV translation, but in Greek, in actuality, this is a passive voice, tense, and mood. It went something like this. Were not our hearts being burned within us? It's not that our hearts were burning by themselves. Our hearts received the action of the verb, in this case, burning. The action of the verb, the burning, was being done to their hearts. So, passive voice. Why does the Holy Spirit use Luke to use such rich nuance? Here's another question, okay? If you're tracking with me, you should have asked this question too. When Jesus says, what are you talking about? What things? I don't know. I don't know what happened in Jerusalem. And they explained everything, right? Oh, we put our hope in this Jesus. We thought he would redeem Israel. We thought he was going to set us free from the Roman Empire. We were looking for a military, political savior. And we put our hope in this Jesus. But then he was put to death, crucified, dead, and buried. And then Jesus says in verse 25, how foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus is rebuking them. He is saying, you should have known what the Bible said about me. You should have known that the Messiah would have to suffer and be crucified, put to death, and rise from the dead. You should have known. You are responsible for not knowing what the scripture says. So, I'm confused. Are you confused? Jesus kept them from recognizing. But Jesus had to open their eyes. And yet, he holds them accountable for not recognizing Jesus, Messiah, from the scripture. So, which is it? Which is it? Is it God's responsibility to open our eyes? Or is it our responsibility to recognize Jesus in the scripture? And what's the answer? The answer is yes. It's 100% Jesus. He has to reveal himself to you and me. At the same time, it's 100% you and I. We are responsible. It is on us. If you don't recognize Jesus, that's on you. At the same time, Jesus must reveal himself. It's 100% grace, 100% faith. Jesus must grace us by opening our eyes, and at the same time, 100% us. We must form and believe, form faith and believe. It's 100% Jesus opening our eyes, 100% you and I recognizing Jesus. So therefore, why does the Bible, why does the Holy Spirit give us this rich, nuanced understanding of the Scripture for this? When you consider Jesus has to open your eyes, he has to reveal himself, you are grateful to him. You see it. Do you get it? You didn't do this on your own. Jesus gave you grace. And you are forever grateful and thankful. At the same time, you depend on him. So you put your trust in him, not in your own ability. At the same time, you are responsible. I am responsible. We must open our eyes. We must recognize Jesus. We must see Jesus. That's our responsibility. And therefore, it calls for a sense of urgency. It calls for sense of responsibility on your part, on my part. So here's the theme and the goal. When Jesus reveals himself, your heart will be set on fire. I think that sentence sums it up well. Jesus must reveal himself, and when he does, our heart will be set on fire, and we participate in that act of having our hearts set on fire. As the disciples said, were not our hearts burning within us as he opened the scriptures, as he opened our eyes, as he broke the bread? So let me share with you how our hearts are being set on fire. Three ways. Number one, your heart will be set on fire as you open the scripture. Jesus reveals himself, and now you open the scripture. Once again, in verse 27, Jesus, starting with Moses, all the way through the prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament, the Holy Scripture. Concerning himself, he explained to them, Moses talked about me. The prophets talked about me. The Psalms talked about me. The whole scripture is about me. And again, verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? The scripture is not about what you and I must do. The scripture is all about who Jesus is and what he has done for you and me. Number one, and therefore number two, we must go to the scripture and we discover Jesus and set our hearts on fire. Both grace and faith, both Jesus and our responsibility. We need both. This is my Bible. I hope you got that by now. In my home, in my office, I guess I own about 15 to 20 copies of the Holy Bible. This is my most precious one of them all. It's covered with duct tape. Twice. When I open, look at this. It's just well used. On the cover, it says, presented to Victor Coe, by Victor Coe, on January 1987. I've had this Bible for 35 years. And I wrote on the bottom, when found, please return it to Ann Arbor, Michigan, my home address. And then right next to it, when found, please return to Kalamazoo. And there are five different addresses. This Bible is so precious to me. You know why? It's so precious to me, so much so that when it is lost, I want to discover it. So please, when you find this, contact me according to the information and the address and the phone number found inside the Bible. This is so precious because I'll tell you why. I've had that experience. I remember, this is back in the university years, surely I became saved. I was saved. I didn't save myself, passive voice tense. I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember opening this Bible, reading. And as I read the Bible, I saw Jesus in it. And when I recognized Jesus, my heart was burning with fire. It increased my faith. It increased my joy. It increased my trust in the Lord and increased my commitment to the Lord. My heart was set on fire as I opened the scripture. Friends, you do the same. Do you feel lacking fire in your heart? Is loving Jesus, following Jesus, serving Jesus on his mission, ho-hum, whatever. It's not even important to you. Your heart is not set on fire. And this is how it happens. You go to the scriptures. You have to do it. I can't do it for you. The Lord Jesus can't do it for you. It's something that you must do. And when you do it, because Jesus reveals himself, your heart will be set on fire. And you will experience a renewed sense of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are investigating Jesus, you're not sure about Jesus, you don't know much about the Bible, listen, faith comes, this is the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing the message of Jesus. And the message of Jesus is found in the Holy Scripture. You say that prayer. You don't have faith? Just pray. Lord Jesus, would you give me faith? And as he does, you will believe. It's all Jesus and it's all you. Both 100%. 100%. And let me speak to all of you. Listen, whenever you open your Bible, you have that expectation. When I open my Bible, when anyone preaches the Word of God by opening the Holy Scripture, when I open the Holy Scripture, you should have that expectation. Lord Jesus, risen Christ, reveal yourself from the preaching of the Word, because I want my heart to be set on fire. You should have that expectation. I should have that expectation. And therefore, if you are not going to the Holy Scripture, if you're not discovering Jesus every day in a fresh way, how do you expect your heart to be set on fire? You don't. I don't either. So let's commit to that. Second, when Jesus reveals himself, your heart will be set on fire. Number two, your heart will be set on fire as you eat the meal. As you eat the meal. We're talking about the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. When Jesus was walking along, and when they arrived in Emmaus, the village, he pretends to keep on going. He acted as if he was going farther, when in fact he wanted them to invite him. Okay, so they invite Jesus. Stay. The day is over. It's dark. It's dangerous. You're tired. Please come into our home and have supper together. This is hospitality. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was a stranger. Biblical hospitality is showing welcome and hospitality to strangers. And to them, Jesus was such, and yet at the same time, they were so drawn to him. Please, they urged him. That's what the Bible says. They urged Jesus to stay with him and have supper. Now, when they were having supper, in the NIV, Jesus broke bread, but in Greek, there is the definite article, the. Jesus broke the bread, and when he gave thanks, then they recognized him. This is verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, passive voice, and they recognized Jesus. And at the same time, when they returned to Jerusalem, this is what they said. They told what happened to the 11 disciples, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Do you recognize the definite article, the? When you have the definite article in Luke and also in the book of Acts, written by the same author, Luke. There are places where Luke writes, then they broke bread, without the definite article. That means just a meal. But whenever he inserts the definite article, the meal, he's always referring to the Lord's Supper. So I don't know why the NIV translation did not include the bread when Jesus broke it, when they were having the Lord's Supper together. And their eyes were open. Okay. Now, we don't exactly know how that happened. One commentator says, when Jesus took the bread, broke the bread, they saw the holes in his hands. And that's how they recognized Jesus. Another commentator says, when he gave thanks, when he prayed for the meal, for the Lord's Supper, they recognized, hey, that's the way Jesus prayed. Oh my goodness, it is Jesus. Then they recognized him. Let me add just one more interpretation. What's happening at the Lord's Supper? When you eat a meal together, not just any meal, when you eat the meal, with a definite article, the meal, when you partake in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, what is happening? You are holding the very words of the Scripture concerning Jesus in your hands. The bread, his flesh. When you take the cup of wine or juice, you're holding in your hand the very precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you partake in these elements, the meal of Jesus Christ. And you are recognizing and you are experiencing the life of Jesus, his flesh and his blood. The life of Jesus is living in you. His flesh in your flesh, his blood in your blood. And you recognize and you experience, you encounter the risen Jesus. This is how your eyes will be opened, your eyes, your heart will be set on fire as you eat the meal. Third, lastly, your heart will be set on fire as you belong to the community. After Jesus opens their eyes, after he reveals himself, after his identity is unveiled, they recognize him, right? And then, what do they do? What happens after that? Jesus disappears. How would you have felt if you were one of the disciples? Disappointed, discouraged. We put our hope in you and now you're alive. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And then boom, he's gone. Huh. And what do the disciples do? They walked all day long, 7 miles. It's dark. They're ready for bed. But their hearts were set on fire in such a way that they get up once and they say, we have to return to Jerusalem and we have to tell the other 11 disciples as to what Jesus did. So at once, they walk 7 miles back through the night, through the dark, through the danger, through the bandits. They risked their lives. Why? Because their hearts were set on fire. And that's because Jesus, your heart will be set on fire as you belong in the community of Jesus Christ. That's why he disappears. Do you see Jesus here? I don't. I have never seen Jesus in my entire life. Have you? But he says, in my community, the body of Christ, the local church, there my presence resides. There my presence resides in the body of Christ, in the community. And that's why the two disciples went all the way back to Jerusalem to let them know. And imagine what happened. They'll say, it is true. Jesus is risen. And their hearts were set on fire together. When my heart is set on fire, and when yours is set on fire, and when your heart, my heart, come into one place in the body of Christ, in the community, in the house church, that's when the fire gets even bigger and brighter and hotter. That's why you and I are being encouraged, commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to belong in the community. Here at Mosaic House Church, we belong in house churches. Smaller, more intimate body of Christ where trust is given where you are welcome to become more vulnerable and transparent, real you. And that's all happening in our house churches. Because in house churches, your hearts will burn brighter, hotter, and bigger. And that's why Jesus says, find a house church. Friends, go to our website and contact me or contact Melissa, the disciple of, director of disciple making. She has a passion for house church movement so that your heart will be set on fire all the more. Let's come to a conclusion. Meals with Jesus. This is why Jesus invites us to come to the meal. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. And therefore, guess what we're going to do? We're going to join Jesus at his meal. The meal, the Lord's Supper. Prepare yourself. Anticipate. Expect that you will discover the risen Jesus all over again. In conclusion, Jesus wants your heart to be set on fire. He's giving you the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to conceive. At the same time, it's 100% on you. You must do it. He can do it for you. You must do it through the scripture, through the meal, through the community. Let us pray. Risen Lord, you are real. You are walking with us. You are talking with us. Not in flesh, through the scripture. We get it now. We also recognize you at the meal. We also recognize you. Your presence is brighter, more glorious in your community. So Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to receive your grace, and we commit ourselves to become responsible for opening the word, for coming to the table, for belonging in your community. I pray for friends joining us in this platform. Lord, not all of them have faith in you. Would you give them this faith? And friends, you must believe. That's on you. And Father, I also pray that you will raise us up to be disciple makers in Edmonton and beyond. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.